Welcome to Transformers, the podcast about how business people and policymakers are creating a sustainable future. I'm your host, Kai Embren.
Welcome to Transformers. Our program today is about innovation in green finance for municipalities. In order to bridge the investment gap of climate adaptation and mitigation, local governments need to find investment, and lots of it. The host for our podcast today is Marieke van Staden, director of ICLEI's Bond Center for Local Climate Action and Business Development. ICLEI is a global network with more than 2,500 local and regional governments committed to sustainable urban development work. Our main guest today is Björn Bergstrand. He is the head of sustainability at Kommuninvest, the Swedish organization owned by 97% of all Swedish municipalities. Kommuninvest has developed the green and social bonds with the highest possible credit rating from the international credit rating agency Moody's Standards and Poor's. Kommuninvest has developed the mechanism of successfully raising investment for municipalities. Our third guest is Sean Kidney, CEO and co-founder of Climate Bonds Initiative, a global leading organization in the climate bond market. Welcome to the program. It is great to have you as a host for the program today, Marieke.
Thank you so much, Kai. It's wonderful to be with you and host this program on a very important topic.
To deliver green finance at scale and pace, to invest sustainable green cities is urgent. How can ICLEI support innovative investment strategies and mechanisms to achieve local sustainable development to progress towards climate neutrality?
Well, first of all, we are a network of local and regional governments, so that's our group that we support and proactively help and empower them to understand, identifying their climate and other local priority infrastructure projects through their climate action plans, through assessments. And then we also help them design these projects to make sure that they are as transformative as they can be, as ambitious as they can be. So we have a whole program called the Transformative Actions Program, which frames our innovative finance support offer to local and regional governments. And this includes a project pipeline where we call for projects of any size, any scope, any topic, as long as it's tagged as a priority climate project, which can go into our pipeline, and we would then screen that project to see, is it as ambitious as it can be? Is it serving a huge enough percentage of your population? And it could be any kind of project on any sector, but ideally we want to screen it. Is it looking at resilient infrastructure, zero emission or low emission infrastructure, and really looking at a just transition to make sure that we can move forward? We give different services, do capacity building, and of course, connect these projects to potential investors, but also to other project preparation facilities if they're not yet robust enough and if they need more support to develop at a technical and financial level as well. So it's an exciting space, and we're doing quite a big portfolio of that.
I see that there's a lot of interest around implementation now, because I remember this discussion started many years ago, and together with other networks around Kommuninvest and C40 network and other organizations who are looking into the finance opportunity for municipality. How do you see the role of Kommuninvest as a change maker in the municipality sector?
Well, I find it such an exciting example of, first of all, of collaboration between municipalities in a country and serving those municipalities in the country. So it's a very nice aggregation model, and I find it highly potentially replicable in many, many other countries in the global north as well as in the global south potentially. It's exciting because it looks at the urgency of action. Again, a lot of the focus has been on policy and planning, and all of that is necessary, but implementation needs to come to scale now. And for that, we need huge amount of investment funds that are ready to roll for good quality implementation, but also making sure that whatever we're building infrastructure-wise is as robust as it can be, because the understanding in the climate impacts that we are expecting or are even not expecting, So we need really sound thinking in terms of having that good financial model, which can be a model like Cornwall Invest, which is an in-country model, developing a portfolio and financing that portfolio in a very nice and streamlined and aggregated way. I love the model, and I really would like to bring this message to many of the other local governments and municipalities around the world to look at that and see, is this not possible for them? Maybe with support from national government to kickstart, because there's also this concept of de-risking which needs to be addressed. So we need national guarantees potentially. It's a super complex topic, but I love this example because it shows the potential for the local governments themselves collectively acting and stepping into the space with somebody who's a well-known operator of funds to make sure that the funds are also then well spent, well invested.
Any steps to strengthen this dialogue to support implementation of innovative finance green solutions, Marike?
Well, we're doing a lot on a number of different fronts, together also with people like Sean Kidney and looking at green bonds, looking at other kinds of bonds, looking at an understanding of national level, how to create an enabling framework that allows the flow of finance to the local level. So green bonds and approaches like that are very interesting, especially for those local governments that are credit worthy. But we also need to look at exploring opportunities, and potentially the Cornwall Invest example is also for those who are not credit worthy. We need to look at really new innovative models that allow the flow of finance and the well-considered, well-controlled implementation for successful implementation as well. So these are political discussions, they're finance discussions, they're sectoral discussions as well, and we need to bring them all together.
Any plans?
Oh, we have many plans. We are, of course, always going to be at the climate COPs, at the biodiversity COPs, to also represent subnationals there and have these conversations with national governments. But we also are planning a whole series of webinars, which I think would be important. So watch this space, because we are going to do a wonderful series on innovative finance. And that will be a nice way of exploring different models, different approaches that could be potentially replicated elsewhere.
Oh, great, Marike. And it's going to be interesting to see how we can learn from the model of Cornwall Invest today. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Very much.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome, Björn, to Transformers today.
Thank you.
It's a great pleasure to have you in to this discussion when we now are looking at the role of municipalities. But let us start with the latest development and the latest report that Cornwall Invest published in April 2024, which called the Green Bonds Impact 2023 Report. Hmm. 600 investment projects contributed to a total of about 668,000 tons in reduced emissions annually. Can you give the listener some important insights from the report, Björn? What are the main findings in the report?
Well, to begin with, the purpose of an impact report is to provide the investors that have financed the green investment projects an update on the impact of these financed projects. And the Cornwall Invest Green Bonds program covers 8 different project categories, so designed to cover most of the green investment categories that Swedish municipalities and regions are engaged with regards to meeting their climate objectives. So it covers green buildings, renewable energy, water management, waste management, etc. And we calculate each year the expected actual impact from these financed projects. And as you said, as of last year, in excess of 600,000 tons CO2 in CO2 emissions reduced or avoided annually. So I think one important feature here is that the reporting is undertaken according to recommendations outlined in the Nordic Position paper on green bonds impact reporting. So this is effectively the user guide for green bond issuers that advocates a particular approach in order to foster robust, transparent, and pragmatic reporting practices. We follow these recommendations. It was issued by a group of Nordic public sector issuers starting in 2017 for the first time. This is, of course, very important to have robust, transparent impact reporting, because this is actually the promise that we give to the institutional investors who provide us as issuers with the funds that can then be allocated to green investment projects. It's part of our promise to investors, if you will, to report back on progress. What is interesting in this year's report is that in spite of us having grown the green loans program so much over the past years, the actual impact reported is more or less the same as we reported 5 years back. And how can that be? Well, the answer is in the emission factors that we deploy in the calculations in order to calculate the resulting impact in CO2 terms. When we started out in 2017 to calculate the impact, we used an emission factor for electricity of 380 grams CO2 per kilowatt hour. And we're now down to half of that. And this tells you that the actual real world transition is taking place. The electricity grids in Europe, which we use as the starting points for our calculation, are becoming greener. In fact, they are greener today than they were 5 or 10 years ago, and we expect them to be even greener in the future than we expected a few years back. So one shouldn't put too much emphasis on the actual numbers themselves, although these are important. But the fact is that the program is growing. More and more municipalities in Sweden are using the program. Each one of them is using the program to a larger degree than they were a couple of years back. And the green loan share of our total lending is now up to 15% of our total lending, a number which has grown every year since we started the program.
So can you give us a figure of how many green bonds was issued in 2023 and how much money, the total amount of money raised?
So we typically, each year, we issue maybe two or three green bonds. We now have, or as of year end, had 11 green bonds outstanding in three different currencies, US dollars, euros, and Swedish krona, amounting to approximately 7 billion US dollars outstanding. The share of green bonds issuance is increasing at a more rapid pace than our underlying issuance.
That means that the municipalities see the advantage to go into this type of program.
Well, that's our experience anyway, and it's proven to be quite a useful tool in order to bridge the sort of organizational silos that exist within, I guess, most organizations and also in local government organizations. Becoming engaged in green finance means that the finance function must engage with the sustainability function or with the environmental function of the local government. These people must meet. In our experience, this is often a catalyst for further development. And of course, if you want to transition a local government to net zero, you have to align all activities within the local government to that objective, not least incorporating green or sustainability perspectives into the economic processes, such as budgetary process, the investment plans, etc. So integrating these functions is essential, and green finance is a useful catalyst for that.
Comuninvest was one of the early movers in the field of green bonds development. But how did it start? Can you explain how your green bond system works also?
Well, this dates back to around 2013, 2014, so some 10 years back. And at the time, there wasn't much green issuance in Sweden, some local government authorities began becoming interested in the topic. We actually had the city of Gothenburg issue the world's first green bond from a municipality. And the region of Stockholm also became an issuer early on. And this was very helpful for us because it meant that we could see that amongst the local governments, there was demand for a financial instrument that could enable the local governments to align their funding processes and funding instruments with the local climate objectives. So that gave us confidence to believe that also our members and clients would be interested in a similar type of offering. And hence we started to discuss with them whether they would be interested in a loan product that would cater to green objectives, and it turned out that they were. Following these discussions in June 2015, we launched green loans. In early 2016, we had sufficient green loans to enable the issuance of an inaugural green bond, which we issued in March 2016. It was for $600 million. That was the largest green bond issued to date in the Nordic countries at that time. This also is a way to explain how our model works, because at the time it was quite common for green bond issuance to be performed in a manner where you borrowed the money first and dispersed them as the next step. And we felt that that model was not appropriate for us because it's our clients who own the investment projects. It's our clients who decide whether they want a green loan or not. So we actually were quite reluctant to borrow funds and then promise investors that in a certain amount of time, we would have a portfolio of eligible assets. So we decided to turn this upside down and do a bottoms-up model instead, where we extend the green loans first. And once we have a sufficient portfolio of eligible assets, we issue green bonds to finance that. So that's a fundamental part of our model.
So Kommuninvest is the one who goes to the market and offer the solutions and then create green loans with good conditions for the municipalities?
Yes, and that is consistent with our role and fundamental mandate. We exist to pool local government funding needs and access capital markets at scale in order to achieve cost-efficient funding alternatives for our clients.
How is it when we look into the green loan portfolio? Which type of project are most frequently used for this type of loan?
The three most common sectors which we deploy green loans to are in the on the building side for green buildings, for water management projects, and finally for renewable energy projects. So these three categories probably account for about beyond 80% of allocated funds.
How do you select projects and how is the approval process?
So the starting point, this is not a surprise for those of you listening, is a green bonds framework aligned with the green bond principles, which outlines all of the eight project categories and the criteria, the eligibility criteria. On the basis of that framework and associated platform for loan applications, the clients identify suitable investment projects and submit a loan application to us. Each loan application is then reviewed and decided upon by an external advisory committee that we have established, the Kommuninvest Green Financing Committee. It is comprised of local government experts in sustainability and climate transition. So these people, they typically work on a daily basis within the local governments. They review all these projects on an ongoing basis. And once they have received an approval, which they get in most cases, sometimes not, but once they have received the seal of approval, they can borrow against that specific project.
Well, what can Communinvest offer that others can't in the financing sector?
We're a not-for-profit member organization. That's the starting point. And the member organization has established its own credit market company to run the daily activities as a credit institution. And we are owned by a large number of our clients. 95% of all Swedish local governments are now owners of Communinvest and can get access to funding from us. So that's a key distinguishing factor. We also have a very, very low risk profile, given that all of our activities is guaranteed by the local government. So our creditworthiness rests on the creditworthiness of the Swedish local government sector, effectively as a whole. And that means we're perceived as very creditworthy. We're also solely active in Sweden, and we only focus on lending to Swedish local governments. This has resulted over time in us being the largest lender to Swedish local governments. We have approximately 60% market share. And for many of the local governments, in particular the smaller ones, we are the sole access to cost-efficient funding. They can't find that type of cost-efficient funding elsewhere.
Well, you mentioned your Communinvest is owned by the municipalities. It's a cooperative, and impressive 95% of all municipalities are members or owners of your organization. It's the biggest finance cooperative in Sweden. What is the values to be a member and owner in Communinvest?
Well, I think there are two key things here. It's related to funding. First and foremost, security, being able to rely on Communinvest to provide financing at all times, no matter what the situation is in the outside world or on financial markets. And the second one is, of course, cost efficiency. When times are good, security is perhaps not perceived as so important because the access to financing is abundant. But in times of economic crisis, it can be a tricky situation to access funding at cost-effective terms, which Swedish municipalities have first-hand experience of from the financial crisis in 2007-2008, when some of them had borrowed funds from domestic commercial private banks and found that this bank terminated their funding with 1 week's notice. Sure, access to funding is key. Always being able, having the ability to provide financing for investments. And then not least, cost efficiency, because we're talking about taxpayer money funding these investments. And it's of importance that the local governments can access loans at favorable terms. And that's the basis for our existence.
And some of your members are pretty small. And what's the advantage for a smaller municipality to be a part of this?
You can rely on Communinvest to provide that funding and also at cost-efficient terms. Because we are the actor in Sweden that, aside from the Swedish state, can access funding in bond markets at the most efficient terms, which means that we are able to translate these cost advantages onto our customers. So it's the advantage to being a member is in effect the same both for small and larger municipality, with the difference that the larger municipality probably have slightly easier access to funding outside of Communinvest.
As you are a cooperative model, which is a in global international model recognized in a lot of countries all around the world. But have you seen any other than Communinvest use the cooperative model for this type of issues outside of Sweden?
So we're effectively a local government funding agency, and local government funding agencies, they exist in many different countries. All of the Nordic countries have similar institutions to our own. It exists also in Germany and the Netherlands. However, all with slightly different ownership models. I think that the institution that probably resembles us the most is a French institution called Agence France-Lucan, which was established in 2013 with Communinvest as the model. It now has over 800 French municipalities and regions as owners. And of course, France has thousands of municipalities. So they have just started their journey, but have come relatively far in a short period of time. This is probably the institution that most closely resembles Communinvest in terms of setup and structure.
Mm. So that means that the Communinvest model could be used in more countries than Sweden and France.
Yes, I would say so. Yes.
If we then going into look at the future, what is your view of the development of this type of green bonds and social bonds and green finance within the municipality? Is it possible to scale up?
Yes, I think it's possible to scale up. I think at least if I take the Swedish lens, sustainable investments and using sustainable finance instrument as part of your portfolio of available funding instruments is becoming commonplace. For certain actors, it's probably more common to use green or sustainable finance instruments than using traditional funding instruments. And we also have, of course, in the background, the whole new regulatory landscape that has come out of the European Union and the European Commission's action plan for financing sustainable growth. The issue here is not whether we should engage in sustainable investments and financing instruments or not, but rather how to deploy them. And I think what we have seen so far is continuous stable growth for green bonds and green loans. We expect that to continue. But in parallel, the companies are also looking much closer at their overall transition journey, establishing net zero commitments, and are also required by regulation to disclose transition plans, double materiality analysis, etc., affecting the overall business. So if you look at green instruments, putting the lens on the selected part of the investment projects, we are now entering into a phase where an entity's overall impact on the outside world is becoming more scrutinized, and where companies are increasingly being required to disclose how they intend to meet long-term net zero commitments. So that puts a focus on all of the activities of an entity. In recent years, there have been a development towards financial instruments that can cater to this type of development as well, in the shape of sustainability-linked bonds and sustainability-linked loans. I foresee that these types of instruments will also play an increasingly important role, given not least the administration sometimes associated with the use of proceeds financing. I think we will definitely see a continued increase for the use of sustainable finance instruments. You have to see how it plays out between different types of sustainable finance instruments, including sustainability-linked loans and bonds, green loans and bonds, social loans. We at Communitas have, by the way, also issued a social product a couple of years back, and we see increasing interest for that. So it will be very exciting to see how this develops.
So where do you see the challenges? Any barriers for scale up?
Well, I think I referred to one of the barriers being the administrative dimensions. We also have to take into account that in the EU, we have introduced a taxonomy for sustainable economic activity, which basically is a classification system to determine the shape and form of a specific economic activity, how it should be designed in order to meet long-term sustainability objectives in both green terms and social terms. So basically what this means for a project owner is that you have to dig much more into the specific details of each individual investment projects to identify whether this project is aligned or not with a taxonomy. When you then come into extension of green loans, what's happening on the credit institution side or the lender side, we are also developing our eligibility criteria. So from, I think in June this year, we will be presenting an updated green bonds framework with new eligibility criteria for green loans, and they will partly reflect the EU taxonomy. Not all of the taxonomy, but to an increasing degree. So for clients, identifying, you know, a limited number of projects that may be suitable for green loan financing is probably okay. But to review the whole portfolio might be more of a challenge, and in particular, supplying all that information to us. So I think the challenge here is more of an administrative nature, and possibly then for certain clients, it will be more appealing to use, for example, a sustainability-linked financing instrument where the key performance indicators are entity-level based, probably a little bit easier to follow up on a regular basis.
Mm. Oh, great, Björn. And thank you for advising how new innovative financial municipality initiative can be promoted and scaled up to support citywide actions aimed to reduce emissions and strengthening their resilience with urban environments. So thank you, Björn, for your participation in Transformers. It was great to have you as a guest today, and we see how this development will scale up in 2024 and further on, because it's needed. Thank you, Björn.
Well, thank you, Kai. Thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure to participate. Thank you very much.
Our third guest in today's Transformers is Sean Kidney, CEO and co-founder of Climate Bonds Initiative, a London-based and globally working organization to mobilize capital for climate action. Welcome, Sean Kidney.
How do you see the role of CommunInvest play in the development of the green bonds investment?
Well, they weren't the first Munich green bonds. There were a number of places like Ile-de-France and Malmo and Gothenburg who issued green bonds from municipalities first, which was fantastic. And they've been very successful programs for those cities. But CommunInvest was the first aggregator, that is the organization that raises money wholesale on the markets and then distributes it to smaller cities, which are critically important vehicles, channel financing to small and middle-sized cities in different countries. They exist in multiple countries. And for that reason, it was a landmark issuance, and the program has been really important going forward. I'd answer the question in two ways. The first, I would say, everyone who is investing in infrastructure, in cities, in urban development, in all the investments that go to make our lives productive, wealthy, and sustainable, need to be considering green in a broader sense of the term. And if they're not, frankly, they're being negligent. Now, they may well be doing green already and not calling it green. That's perfectly fine. That's great. What counts is how the money is being invested. So when I say that, I mean, clearly, if you're investing in energy systems, you are being remiss, negligent, possibly willfully destructive if you invest in fossil fuels. And you need to ensure investments are in clean energy and stuff toward clean energy, etc. If you're investing in transport, you need to ensure it's low carbon. Otherwise, you certainly should not be doing it. So that's one side of the equation. But there's also the resilience side. As we have been developing with UNDRR and others, a climate resilience taxonomy, it is becoming very clear that pretty well everything a municipality invests in needs to now be put through the prism of, is it improving resilience for the shocks that we're going to start experiencing, that we are starting to experiencing right now in southern Brazil at the moment, in Porto Alegre and so on. There are incredible epoch-making floods that haven't been heard of before. And then a few weeks ago, it was 50 degrees Celsius heat across southern Brazil and it felt like 62, according to the weather report. These are unheard of extremes. All cities are now going to experience volatile weather, yo-yo weather. What does that mean for the investments you're making in water system, the energy systems, in buildings, in transport? It means a lot. You need to be applying a climate resilience filter across everything. So clearly, everything needs to be put through this filter, and that's what you use your green bond program to draw attention to the fact that you're addressing these opportunities and risks and responsibilities of the future in your investment program to the investment community, with the beautiful, juicy benefit that you will get preferential capital as a result. And that's what Cominvest has proven to the markets that it can do, and it is working globally. There's a second reason why I was really keen on the Cominvest approach, which is that globally, we've got to invest a lot of capital. We have to raise a lot of capital. There's no shortage of capital. Let's be clear about that. We have enough capital to power the whole revolution to a green economy, a low carbon economy. It's not necessarily the right places, et cetera, but it doesn't matter. We have the capital resources. We have to find mechanisms to bridge the new territories that we need to invest in Nigeria, in Indonesia, in Colombia, with where the capital pools are, which are in places like Sweden. And that's going to require some risk bridging. Development banks have a critical role to play, and governments, like the Swedish government, for example, has a guarantee scheme for green bonds issued in emerging markets, which is fantastic. We need to see more of that around the world. And also aggregation vehicles. And because we've pioneered with Cominvest a great model, a really important model to raise money in wholesale at low rates, big scale, and then distribute the proceeds to small cities. We've got to do this in India. We need to do this in Kenya. We need to do this in Peru. And that's the importance of Cominvest marrying the idea of what it is and bringing renewed attention to the importance of raising funds in the municipal sector through the green bond programs. So the idea of the municipal finance aggregator is around. There are different models here. There's the separate entity, which has a board appointed by governments, or there's a cooperative entity represented by the Cominvest approach. So there are different governance structures, but the principles is basically the same. In the US, this model is called a conduit entity. And you've got different examples. The New York and New Jersey Transport Authority is a conduit entity set up by the two states, New Jersey and New York together, to finance initially interstate connections, bridges across the Hudson River, and has now got a lot of investments around transport infrastructure. There's revolving water funds in Pennsylvania, which are essentially conduit entities to raise money wholesale to distribute in smaller packets to cities and water utilities around that. So there's a lot of variations of this model. Very important to note. Used for different sorts of purposes. The particular benefit of what's happening in Cominvest, the extent to which Cominvest and the cities that are Cominvest's beneficiaries and clients and owners have understood the challenges of climate and are allocating their money accordingly in a way that's visible to investors and to their citizens through this program. And that was the innovation that came from Cominvest, which needs to be copied everywhere. We're going to focus on doing more of what we have in the rich countries and doing it differently. Whereas in emerging markets, we are building vast cities. It's just happening in front of our very eyes. We're building the wrong way because we're not being intentional. We're not actually doing enough planning. What we now need to do is to ensure that we invest up front in the right kind of infrastructure and the right kind of urban development, to make sure there's water, to make sure that there are facilities for schools planted, as we do in Sweden, by the way. That's what we have learned to do, but we're not doing that in Nigeria at the moment. And that's going to require capital investment, a lot of capital investment. So we've got to find ways to mobilize that capital. And we've got the special problem of the link where between the big pools of capital in the world, which are in Japan, in Europe, and the US, and the big needs. 70% of what we're going to spend in urban infrastructure between now and 2050 is in emerging market cities. So this is important. And there's a lot of small cities too. And that's why the community invest model is so critical.
And you mentioned Japan, and they have something called transition bonds.
Correct, yeah.
Can they give some experience for other parts of the world?
Japan's program is very much focused on how to change a manufacturing-based economy. It's more like Germany than the UK, I'd say, in terms of the basis of its economy, into one that's low carbon and consistent with climate goals. And so they've built a big transition program. They call it a green transformation program. Every country has a lot to learn from what Japan is doing at the moment. Is it perfect? No. Is it a start? It's more than a start. It's a fantastic start. They need to improve. We have arguments with them about some of the parts of the program because we're saying, hang on, you're a rich country. You can afford to do more in that area and then contribute to development in other countries as a result of those learnings. But that's the nature of transition. We're going through the most substantial, severe, drastic change to the global economy that has ever occurred because of the scale of what we're doing, which is greening our energy systems, which is greening our industrial systems, which is also, by the way, greening our cities, because cities are responsible for buildings alone are responsible for some 38% of global emissions. So we have to tackle the built environment as part of this change, let alone the fact that energy, industrial uses and so on are all primarily designed for cities, which are our hubs of productivity and wealth around the world. They drive our economies. Our global economy is more like a Hanseatic leading cities than it is about big, vast countries. That's the truth of the matter.
So do you think it's any opportunity to see bridging between the Japanese solution or transition bonds and the community invest?
So a few weeks ago, Japan launched an ASEAN Green Transformation Consortium, which is a whole lot of other Asian countries in cooperation with Japan, where Japan will provide learnings from what it's doing as green transformation, support them in their transition plans, and provide cheap capital accordingly. So that's already there. What they haven't done yet, though, because this doesn't exist in Japan, is apply a common invest model. We've been speaking with Asian development makers about doing this in Thailand and the Philippines. And yeah, I think there's a big opportunity for common invest to provide its ideas and approaches, and let's call it governance technology, to those countries for them. Absolutely. And I have encouraged the Swedish Development Agency to get involved in those projects yet, but I've yet to see the action.
Thank you very much, Ron, for this talk today.
Thank you.
I'm Kai Embren. Follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn, where I will be announcing the future guests to this podcast. And you can expect about 2 programs a month. And each guest has a unique story of making business and society sustainable. So find out more. Visit my homepage, kaiembren.org. Thank you for listening.